having his hair cut in a barbershop was reading his Bible. And the barber, after he closed his Bible, God said he was finished. He said, I just want you to know I don't believe in God. I don't believe there is a God. Well, you know, he's got knives and razors and everything, and, you know, that's kind of a dangerous place to be in. And the man said, well, why don't you believe that? He said, because of all the horrible sicknesses that we have in the world, all the troubles, all the difficulties in the world, all this, I just don't believe in God. And the man didn't know quite what to say, but he went very sad out into the street. And as he walked out, there was this guy standing along the building here. And he had earphones in. He was listening to his music. And he had dreadlocks down to here. I mean, there was hair all over this guy. And so he goes over to the guy and says, come with me. And so they walk into the barbershop, and the guy says, I don't believe in barbers. He says, why don't you believe in barbers? He says, it's obvious that a man like this wouldn't have hair like this if there were barbers in the world today. I mean, and the barber says, that's not my fault. They don't come to me. Why is there problems and difficulties in the world today? Because mankind, knowing that there is a God, Romans chapter 1, refused to submit and obey and to love him. Mercy. I want you to realize, as we look at these terms, rich in mercy, his great love, by grace you are saved, in this text here. What is the difference between these three terms? Well, mercy is pity, not giving us what we deserve. And as I try to remember these things, and they are so close, and they are intertwined together. And the way that I've kept it, mercy, mercy, Lord, give me mercy. Don't give me what I deserve. And so mercy is not receiving what we deserve. Some return the greeting, how are you? I hope Bill doesn't mind me sharing, but I've tried to call Bill throughout the time since Nancy has died, and I just asked Bill, I said, Bill, how you doing? And his general answer is, well, I'm still here. I wish I could ask him a better question. You know, that's just sort of the term that we use, how are you? You know, but I know that there have been some in the past that when I have asked them the question, how are you, their answer is, and I think it's a good answer, better than I deserve. How are you? Let's rehearse that for a moment. How are you? Do you realize that? Do you realize that this, even, can I tell you that even the worst sinner in the world is better than they deserve? Because what they deserve is the wrath and curse of God, and they have not yet experienced that full wrath and curse. And so if you ask them, how are you, they can say, better than I deserve. But you know what many of them are? They're ungrateful, according to Romans chapter 1. And they say, well, why has this happened? I don't deserve this. No, you're right. You deserve much worse. And so when we return the greeting, and I'm not saying that we need to do that because that'll become just as rote as how are you, better than I deserve. But when we acknowledge that, we understand that we have received mercy. We recognize that we have received mercy. According to our text here in Ephesians, love is what propels mercy. It tells us, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, because of his great love, through his great love, he has mercy upon us. But can I tell you this morning, and you may be a little bit confused or concerned or not understanding, but can I tell you this morning that love does not save? Let me give you a scripture. I want you to fill in the blank. For God so loved the world that he... Okay, doesn't say, for God so loved the world that he saved, that he gave, that's right. For God so loved the world that he saved? No. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It is God's love that sends his grace, that sends Jesus Christ. Grace is giving to us what we do not deserve. So mercy is withholding what we deserve, the wrath and curse of God. Grace is giving us what we don't deserve. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is salvation. That is heaven. That's the inheritance that we have in heaven. Some have used the acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense. I like that. God's riches, G, God, R, riches, A, at, C, Christ, E, expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. It is by grace that we are saved. But God's mercy and grace flow from his love. In the Old Testament, there's a Hebrew word. It's called chesed. It is translated both loving kindness and mercy. And as we go back into this to our text this morning in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we see that Paul calls on us to offer our bodies a living sacrifice, to not be conformed to this world because of the mercies of God. These last 2 weeks, we've given you the example of William Borden. We've given you now this morning the example of Pastor Mike Williams. And history records many that have offered their bodies a living sacrifice, many that have not been conformed by the world's ideology. Both were not and are not being conformed to the world. The Apostle Paul was not conformed to the world. Why? They all were affected by, as we looked at last week, the deep truths of the book of Romans. They were all affected by the rich mercies of God. I want to ask you a question this morning. What mercies has God extended to you? It's good to think about William Borden. It's good to think about Pastor Williams. But how about to you? What mercies has God extended to you? Well, can I tell you the first mercy that God has extended to you? That if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that is the greatest and most supreme mercy that God can offer. And if you have that this morning, you have a reason to offer your bodies a living sacrifice. You have a reason to not be conformed to this world. So in Psalm 136, I'm going to ask you to turn to Psalm 136, if you will. We're not going to read it. I would encourage you that this afternoon to sit down and read. This is that psalm that has 26 verses, and at the end of each verse, it says, "For his mercy endureth forever." Let's all say that together. For his mercy endureth forever. Again, for his mercy endureth forever. And as we look at this, we see in verses 1 through 3 that the psalmist praises him for who God is. And then the choir is supposed to say, "For his mercy endureth forever." And then in verse 4, he praises God for what he is able to do, and the choir responds, "For his mercy endureth forever." And then in verses 5 through 9, he praises him for what he's done in creation, and in each verse it says, "For his mercy endureth forever." And then in verses 10 through 15, he praises God for redeeming Israel from the bondage of Israel, and in each verse it says, "For his mercy endures forever." Folks, there's a sense in which we have been redeemed from the bondage of Egypt through the Jewish people. But can I tell you this morning that there is a sense in which you have been redeemed from the bondage of Egypt as well? I don't know what your bondage was. For some, it may be pornography. For some, it may be financial bondage. For some, it might be relational issues. For some, it might be emotional issues. But God has, in his grace, I am sure, throughout your lifetime, redeemed you from a bondage of some sort, and you say, "For his mercy endureth forever." How has God saved you spiritually? How has God saved you physically? And then in verses 16 through 22, he praises God for what he did in his providence towards him. Let me ask you this morning, what providence has God worked in your behalf? You can look throughout your life. I've told you some of these stories before, but I have to keep telling them. You know why? So I don't forget them. I don't want to forget them. I was driving down old, what's this road that Publix is on? Not Circling Loop, Old Tampa Highway or New Tampa Highway. There we go. We'll get it. See, I told you I have to repeat it. Okay. I was driving down that road towards Plant City, and I was looking for something. We were going to look for something. I had two little boys in the back of the vehicle. I don't even know if they remember. They're here today. Jim and Jer were sitting in the back seat of the car. And I came to a road, and I thought it was the road I needed to turn on. And if you know anything about that road, people go down that road very, very quickly. And I went to take and turn onto the road, and then I decided not to. And there was a guy coming, I'm sure, 80, 90 miles an hour in a Camaro, two of them. And they went down into the ditch. I saw it happen. And then they came up out of the ditch, and they screeched to a halt. And then I decided, well, I need to turn into the road to see if they're okay. And so I turned the road. These two big guys, they were ugly. They were big, and they were mad. And they came at the car, and I thought, Lord, I'm going to get beat up. And they came, and they looked into the car, and they said, look, he's got two little boys in the back. Are you okay? And they went back. For his mercy endureth forever. I've lived in the same house ever since I've been in Lakeland. Always changing, always doing things in the yard there. This one particular day, I had an axe. And I was chopping something. And as I went back, I saw Jimmy, probably 4 years old, and the axe head missed his head this big. I fell on my knees. And I said, God, for his mercy endures forever. I came back, and some of you know that we have a lawn trailer. We had a lawn trailer, and the gate was super big. And I had loaned it out to Jim. I think it was Isaac. That the gate came crashing down on him. Folks, I could hardly move that gate. And he basically got out without a scratch, for its mercy endure forever. And just like I've told you three stories of my life, you can come up with story after story after story, and if you can't, it's because you've forgotten. It's because you haven't looked for them. Now, you can pick out some other stories that you say, yeah, but look at what happened here, and it was a bad thing. Look at what happened there, and it was a bad thing. Where was God's mercy? Where is his grace? And I say, look at Pastor Williams. You know that guy's the same age as I am? Did you hear what he said? He said if you could make the marathon, if you could make it to 20 miles, that was the key. The last 6 miles are the hardest. And I don't know if you picked up on it, but he was saying, that's my life. The first 20, and now I'm in the last six. How is it that it goes for us? The world says, just like that barber says, if things don't go all my way, then there must not be a God. Can I tell you that God is working a purpose and a plan for your and my life? And though whatever the circumstances say, you can say, devil, you're lying to me. because I know that God has a purpose and a plan, and I might not see it, and I might not like it, and I might not understand it, and it may be that which is driving me to my knees, it may be that which is causing me to despair, but I know whom I believe it. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep me until that day. And folks, because of the mercies of God, it's reasonable to present ourselves a living sacrifice. It's reasonable to not be conformed to this world. And so when we are tempted not to, when we're tempted to be conformed to this world, when we're tempted to not present our bodies and to serve the Lord and think, let us remember the mercies of God. And do you remember the adjective that Paul uses in the book of Ephesians? I mean, mercies is enough, isn't it? He says, the rich mercies of God. Oh, brothers, oh, sisters. I don't know how long the Lord will spare my life and keep me on this earth. We said something that was kind of humorous this morning in Sunday school. What if somebody came into this place and somebody said, well, it depends how old you are. Now, if it's like Ms. Dyer, since she had her little funny, I can have my little funny. But can I tell you this morning, the reality is, unless Jesus Christ comes first, each of us will face death. And it's a matter of how long it is. And folks, can we live it to the glory of God? Can we live it to the service of God? Can we live it by presenting our bodies, Lord, take me and use me? William Borden said, no reserve, no retreat, no regret. Pastor William said, I'm going to die. And it's probably going to be painful. But God has a purpose and a plan. You and I don't know what His purpose and plan is. One phone call can change our lives. One phone call. One event. It's reasonable. It's right. And when it gets hard, remember the mercies of God. Let us pray. Father, I pray this morning for Pastor Williams. I pray that You would continue to give him the grace that is obvious and evident in his life. And Father, the grace that You've given to him is not unique to him, for You are rich in mercy. You are rich in grace. So, Father, I ask that we would go forth from this place ready to serve You, ready to honor You, ready to bless You. Thank You, Father, for it's in Christ's name we pray it. Amen.